following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is a Tuesday. Tuesday, August 11th, to be exact. I'm Nicole Sandler, coming to you live from NicoleSandler.com, the Progressive Voices Network, streaming video. No, not on YouTube. Screw you, YouTube. But we are on Facebook Live. We are on Periscope and therefore Twitter. And we are now on Twitch. Yes. So another way to watch, twitch.tv/Nicole Sandler Show. So we are, you know, YouTube wants to screw with us. Fine. I'm still working on it behind the scenes, but I can't count on them. So we are now up on Twitch. So somebody check it out. I understand it's like the Wild West of video streaming. So Twitch, Periscope, Facebook Live, boom, we're there. And we now have a ticket. Joe Biden made it official within the past hour. He has chosen as his running mate, Kamala Harris. Okay, so no big, you know, build up, no big suspense. It's kind of what I figured. Is it what you figured? Is it what you're happy with? I guess that's the question. You know, it's Tuesday, so gotta laugh will be along. But I thought, what better time to open up the phone lines and ask, what do you think? 954-889-6410 is the phone number. You can also Skype in if you are a Skyper. I'm just Nicole Sandler, all one word. And let me know what your thoughts are. I mean, I've been open. I've been honest all along. My first choice really still was Elizabeth Warren, because I thought we needed a real progressive on the ticket. And I think out of everyone who was left in the running, she still had the most bona fides to contend with. She had the most to bring to it. My second choice, frankly, was Karen Bass, because the more I've learned about her, the more I really like her. Kamala Harris, my issue is not so much with her as a campaigner or a candidate or a questioner, because I think she'll be really good at all of that. My problem with her is her record as a prosecutor. Her background as a cop, frankly. And this is something that she's going to have to come to terms with, I think. She's going to have to clarify her position. She's going to have to clarify where she stands on, police brutality, on what's the name of it when not inherent contempt, I've got that stuck in my brain, the immunity immunity that gives cops the benefit of the doubt, and it's why they're so rarely prosecuted for issues of police brutality and overreach. It'll come to me when I'm not thinking of it. But it is a subject of contention. And yes, there's the issue where she didn't prosecute Mnuchin for his role in the California mortgage crisis. So there's a qualified immunity. Thank you, David. I knew somebody would give me the answer. Qualified immunity. She's going to need to qualify where she stands on qualified immunity. Okay, so what else? There's a lot more going on, but so that's the big news that has come out of this day so far. And hey, we're just getting started, aren't we? The phone lines are open. Should you care to weigh in on any of it, how you would like to, I'm trying to arrange a shot on here and speaking at the same time. I am not good. I'm good at multitasking. I'm not good at chalking and walking at the same, chewing gum and talking at the same time. So anyway, I suppose we'll be talking about this issue, for the foreseeable future. We're going to be, weighing in on, Kamala Harris for quite some time now, because she is the nominee. I'll tell you one thing I tweeted out right away is I'm, you know, already trying to figure out who's going to replace her in the Senate. And my first choice immediately was Katie Porter. I would love to see Katie Porter in the Senate. Now, the thing is, she represents a district that is not very blue. So the one downside to that would be the chance that a Republican could swoop in and take that seat. And she's in no danger if it's her. But, you know, who knows who would come in to fill her seat. So that's one issue. Somebody else, Howie Klein, actually suggested Ted Lieu. And then I said, yeah, or somebody else who would be great is Ro Khanna, or even Karen Bass, for that matter. If I shot, you know, she would have been my choice as a vice presidential pick. She'd make a damn good senator as well. You know, one thing people don't know about Karen Bass is she's always kept it low key, but she was the assembly leader, basically the speaker of the California House while Arnold was governor. So she had to, she was the head Democrat in the state of California during the Schwarzenegger governorship. And she held her shit together and made it possible so that, you know, the Democrats not only succeeded, but prospered during that time and came out ahead such that, you know, Gavin Newsom is now the governor there. And at the after Jerry Brown was governor for two terms. So, you know, who knows? Somebody just called in. Someone from the 832 area code, I guess, had a burning comment to make and then got tired of waiting for me to pick up. So this is how it works. If you call into this show, I don't have a producer. I don't have a screener. So if I see that you're calling in, I will take the call, but you'll be muted until I finish up what I'm doing and then I can go to you. So you got to have patience. If you have no patience, then don't call. If you do have patience, you know, feel free to call in if you want. Trying to think. So I like to start the show with something funny. I was hoping that somebody would quickly bring us a Kamala song to the tune of Camelot in Kamala. I'm just giving somebody an idea should care to get creative. It hasn't happened yet. I do have a song ready to play, but our 832 caller called back. So, hi, who's this?
Hi, Nicole. It's Pam.
Hi, Pam.
One of your number one fans.
Oh, thank you. Where are you calling from, Pam?
Thanks again for that book that you had graciously sent.
Oh.
In regards to Kamala Harris,
yes.
I wish if people would stop calling her a black woman. She's not a black woman. She's mixed race.
Well, she
her
is.
Dad,
and it's not
black
not my place.
Jamaica,
right, but she's
and her mom is in. Was Indian
from right.
India.
Right. So to me, and again, I'm not a black woman of any kind, so I guess I'll take your take over mine. What I'd say is she's not an African-American woman, but she's a black woman. I mean, she's not from Africa. She's Jamaican and Asian, Indian. So she's black. She's got dark skin, but she's not African-American.
She's mixed race. She's a woman of mixed race.
Okay, well then so is Barack Obama, a man of mixed race, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. When are we going to stop this racism?
What, does it matter?
Man, but people keep saying that. But getting back to her choice,
yeah.
I'm not surprised that he chose her because they're peas in a pod. She isn't for Medicare. She's not a progressive. He would not have chosen Karen Bass because Karen Bass
is a progressive. Yes, I know that.
So, you know, I'm not, I thought it would either be her or Susan Rice.
Susan Rice, yeah.
They are of the same ilk.
That's
so
true.
It's not surprising to me. It's the same old with the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
They're not really interested in being progressive.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But again, I'm going to take my strength at this moment from that spot that we aired the other day when Howie Klein was on that comes from Roots Action that basically says, I know, look, Biden wasn't my first choice. Kamala Harris wasn't my first choice. But these people are not Donald Trump. And our number one priority right now is getting Donald Trump the fuck out of there. And then we deal with fighting the Biden-Harris administration, which, you know, we're going to have to. We're going to have to fight them from the left. That's fine. That's a fight I'd rather take on than fighting the absurd with people who go, nah, 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 I've got blinders and earplugs on and I can't hear you or see you and everything is fake news. You can't debate with those people. You can't negotiate with them because they have no common sense of purpose. They have no legitimacy about them. At least we can start from a place of maybe we can find some common ground here, which doesn't exist now.
I agree with you. So, and you keep up the good works. By the way, if I have Mary Trump's book if you'd like it.
Ah! Oh, if you're done with it, I'd love to read it. It's one of those things.
I have an e-copy. I'll send it to you.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate
it. Thank you ever so much for what you do.
Oh,
and we truly appreciate you. You're a treasure.
Oh, thank you so much. Where are you listening from?
I am in San Bernardino.
In San Bernardino. There you go. I know it well. My old stomping grounds. All right. Thank you for the call. It's great to hear from you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. See, I love taking phone calls. And now that we're live on Progressive Voices at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, it's easier to do it. It was harder when I was doing the show live at 3 and had to turn it around to get it on the air at 5, and Progressive Voices was hearing us on a delay. Now we're live. So call in. You know what? If I don't have time to take the call, I won't take it. If I do, I just pick it up. Phone number is usually up there on the screen. If you're watching video, 954-889-6410. If you're on Skype, you can Skype me at Nicole Sandler. So again, I went looking, hoping that someone had turned around a really quick Kamala kind of parody song, but no such luck. I mean, I come up with the ideas. I'm just not good with the. So maybe someone will have one for us for tomorrow. In the meantime, there's a new Randy Rainbow song, kind of. He was commissioned for this one. So I guess, you know, you have enough money and power, you can order up a Randy Rainbow song parody. And Chris Cuomo, who is the host of I don't know the name of the show, Chris Cuomo Primetime or something, 9 o'clock on CNN. His wife apparently cajoled Randy Rainbow into doing a special birthday video for Chris Cuomo. And you know what? Anything that Randy Rainbow does, I like. So we'll take a brief time out from the news of the day for a laugh or two for the day from Randy Rainbow. Here we go.
Whenever I feel sad and all the news is bad, my Cuomo Primetime helps to get me through. I just got a subpoena from your other wife, Christina, to make this special birthday gift for you. This one's just for you, my Chris. I hope you like it. I don't usually do birthday parties. Christopher Cuomo, there's no one better in the biz. Christopher Cuomo. You're so wise and intellectual, and unlike any other. You know I'm a Cuomo-sexual, and not just for your brother. Let's get after it. Christopher Cuomo.
Christopher Cuomo.
There's nothing worse than when you're gone, Christopher Cuomo.
Christopher Cuomo.
And when you curse, it turns me on. Don't tell Anderson or Dahlia. So thanks for all you do, and happy Big Five.
Oh,
here, I got you this.
Oh, it's a crop top.
It'll shrink in the wash. Don't show this video to Andy.
All right. We love Randy Rainbow, so we'll forgive him his excesses. My birthday's November 4th, Randy, in case you were wondering, and it happens to be the day after this big national election that we have coming up, and we might have good cause to celebrate. So just saying, just throwing it out there. All right. I guess we should get to a little bit of news, shall we? Because there is news to be had. So let's do it like that.
I read the news today.
Oh boy. And I think Bill O'Reilly's running around because
we'll do it live.
Did you hear? Bill O'Reilly is probably heading back to radio. Shut up. Just shut up already. Yeah, so it looks like Bill O'Reilly is in talks for a weekend show at WABC Radio in New York. I guess that's a good thing for him. WABC, in case you're wondering, is, you know, all the ABC properties have been sold off. I don't know about WABC Radio, but WPLJ, which was ABC's FM station in New York, is now The Way FM. It's a Christian rock station of some sort. Yeah, so much for the old ABC radio legacy and Disney and all that. And they don't exist anymore. It's just call letters. All right, so news. There is new news happening today. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't see any of it. So when Laffy comes on, maybe she followed along some of it. But this morning, the legal and political battle over the Justice Department's effort to drop its prosecution of Trump's former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn returned to court today. You might recall the judge overseeing the case was one U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan. Emmett Sullivan, as the judge, has the right to decide the disposition of the case. Well, we have an attorney general by the name of William Barr who likes to put his stubby little thumb on the scales of justice and bend them towards his master's whims. And in this case, Barr came in and said after Flynn had already pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI, lying to Congress, and a number of other things that, yeah, you know what, they weren't going to go forward with prosecuting this case. Sorry, but he already pled guilty and they were in the sentencing phase. So Judge Sullivan brought in a retired judge and said, I'm going to appoint you as basically, and this is my word, like a guardian, whatever the legal term is, for the people, so to present the other side, because I don't think this is the way it's supposed to go. And again, Barr stepped in and said, no, we'll let, a small panel of judges from the Circuit Court of Appeals decide this. And the three-judge panel came by and ruled against Sullivan. And Sullivan said, you know what, this is still not right. And he asked for I forget the legal terminology of it, a something en masse, it's not it, but it basically say, no, I don't want this three-judge panel. I want the entire panel, all the judges on the court, to rehear this case. And that's where we are. The divided three-judge panel in late June ordered Sullivan to close the case and said he was wrong to appoint a retired federal judge to argue against the government's position. But the full court did sit again today with 10 judges agreeing to take a second look at this unusual case that tests the power of the judiciary to check the executive branch. So I know Marcy Wheeler, who I can always count on Twitter to follow such hearings, she was live tweeting it. So I haven't had a chance to see what happened, how it went today, but just know this happened and a lot rides on the balance. I'll check into it. Maybe we'll get an update from Marcy later this week. I don't know. In the meantime, hi, someone's calling from the 828 area code. Who's this? Hello? Are you there? Going once? Going twice. See, that's the problem also. If you call in, you got to stay on the line because I'll come to you like that. And if you're not there, I just have to keep going. So try back. All right. Now on to other news. There have now been more than 20 million cases of coronavirus worldwide and at least 736,000 deaths. But let's go back to that 20 million cases number. The United States has somewhere around, what was it, like 5% of the world's population, if that. And with 5 million of the 20 million cases of coronavirus worldwide, we have 20% of the world's cases. just showing what a disconnect there is. And it, you know what it all comes down to? Leadership at the top. We have no leadership at the top, and that's why we're floundering like this. So, you know, what has Donald Trump done? He's seen his poll numbers floundering. He's just fighting. He's underwater. So realizing that there were precious hours of the day when his mug was not plastered on all television sets in America, Donald Trump decided to reinstate his masturbatory briefing rallies each afternoon as a solo act. Because who needs those stinking doctors when you have Trump's stable genius brain regurgitating the information they've given him? Sorry, just threw up in my mouth a little bit. Anyway, shortly after beginning his propaganda pitch yesterday, Secret Service abruptly whisked in and rushed him out of the room. Unfortunately, he came back a short time later. Secret Service said a shot was fired by a uniformed Secret Service agent at a suspect and that the White House was never in danger. The White House was never in danger. So Trump returned about 10 minutes later. He resumed his comments on the coronavirus crisis after briefly addressing what had happened outside. And then the bullshit session recommenced. Of course, if you were looking for actual information of consequence, you wasted your time with that spectacle because Trump says nothing. He knows nothing. He offers nothing except nonsense. And among the other nonsense he spewed yesterday was this. Donald Trump said he's considering temporary measures to block American citizens and permanent residents who might be infected with the coronavirus from returning to the United States. Seriously. So draft immigration regulations obtained by the New York Times show that this policy would let border officials deny entry to citizens and legal residents if an official, quote, reasonably believes that the individual either may have been exposed to or is infected with the communicable disease. The drafts also say that any order blocking them from returning must include appropriate protections to ensure that no constitutional rights are infringed. You're telling me that some low-level border official can make a determination, oh, I think you might have been exposed to the coronavirus, so you can't come back into the country of which you are a citizen, but I'm making sure that I'm not infringing on your constitutional rights. Come on. This is one thing after another. This comes a day after his bullshit executive orders, which were not executive orders at all. They were just nonsense. Nonsense. All right. Before we get laughy on, you know what? I got to take a break because I've been remiss the last couple of days because, you know, give me a way not to play a commercial and I'll not play the commercial, but I need to play the commercial. So for those, our friends at the Progressive Voices Network, let's take a little care of a little business. I got to do this again. I'm sorry. I wish it was as simple as it used to be. You fire a commercial by hitting a button, and now it is not quite that easy. Okay. Commercial, we'll do this, we'll do that. We'll be right back on the Progressive Voices Network. And I think whoever we lost last time is back, so we'll try taking a phone call while Progressive Voices is in commercials. Hi, who's this?
Hey, it's Jeff. So sorry about that mess up. I stepped outside and the damn thing wouldn't get off the Bluetooth.
I gotcha. Hi, Jeff. Where are you calling from?
Asheville, North Carolina.
Oh, okay. So what's happened? I just saw something in the news today from Asheville, North Carolina. Do you have Colonel Mo Davis running for Congress from Asheville?
I'm embarrassed to say I can't answer that.
Ooh, you got to look up Colonel Morris Davis. I believe he is running for Congress from Asheville, North Carolina, and he's great. Check him out. But I'm sorry, what did you call it? Yeah, he's good.
On a side note, I saw yesterday when I was at Pritchard Park, a police vehicle, SUV, wasn't actually police. It said Department of Homeland Security, Federal Protection.
Oy.
How about that?
Yeah.
I've never seen that before. It just seems like no one's ever seen those before somehow. You know, how long has that been in town? Probably not long, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, but just thought we should be aware of that. But the reason I called is because I got to debate Sean Hannity face-to-face on his show when he was doing it from the Dogwood Festival 15 years ago.
I'm sorry.
And long story short, I got to debate Sean Hannity.
Oh, yeah. No, I heard that. I was just expressing my condolences. I'm sorry.
Right. And long story short, he didn't play fair and so forth, because you don't have to play fair. It's his platform. But I came away from it thinking, anytime you try to debate with a person who believes in Trump and so forth, conservatives, you can never have a productive debate, whether it's online or in person, because they never answer a yes or no question. They always interrupt and go with the straw man and so forth. So I came up with an idea. I've been throwing it out there for the longest time, offering the average person who thinks and argues like that $200 to debate me on video, but they have to follow two simple rules. If I say stop, they have to stop talking. If I ask a yes or no question, they must answer yes or no. That way they can't keep fucking throwing the whole thing off by just making you have to go off to a different track and keep bringing them back to the original spot.
Right.
And I would love to see, I've thrown that to Michael Moore and other people who have money. You know, $200 is a lot, and certain people you have to give more. But don't you think, because you know what I'm talking about, there ain't no way to have productive debate with these people. You just like Trump when he was with the guy from Axios. Didn't Trump keep interrupting and over-talking so the guy couldn't actually get his point across, and then he got to change the topic and so forth, you know?
Always. In fact, you know, I like debating people who have a different point of view than I do. However, over the last few years, I've determined it's impossible with so many of these Trumpers because they just deny reality. So if you can't agree on certain facts, that these are the facts and this is what we're going to debate, then you can't have a debate. Because if you can't agree on that a fact is a fact, then don't waste my time.
Yeah, I got into a heated argument last week with a Vietnam vet. I know he's just a client, but we got into politics. And it was impossible to debate because he had his version of reality was so different than reality. So it's like we can disagree about things if we're at least on the same page of facts and reality, but now I got to start to make him understand what the real facts are before we even go any further.
Exactly. Exactly.
I had my neighbor insists that Nancy Pelosi ripped a Bible in half. I don't mean pages at a time, but like the whole, like she ripped it in half. I mean, and he got mad. You call my mom a liar? And I couldn't even get the point in that, like, how is the 80-year-old lady going to rip the Bible in half?
Right.
And, just, you know, anyway, don't you think it might help if somebody had a debate like that where these people had to follow proper debate etiquette because they had the incentive?
I'll tell you what would help the debates immensely. Two things. One, get rid of the studio audience. There does not need to be a live audience in a debate. And two, give it back to the League of Women Voters. Get these pundits off the questioning stage. They all have an agenda. The League of Women Voters, back in the olden days when I was just a girl, they did a hell of a job, and they were actual debates. None of this showbiz stuff, none of this game show nonsense. Make it a real issues-oriented debate, and that'll never happen because it's all about TV ratings now.
Yeah, before I go, can I plug my stoplittering.com website that I gave you a shirt for a while ago?
Absolutely.
Thanks, everyone. Check out stoplittering.com if you believe in a clean future that's possible.
All right, stoplittering.com. Thank you so much. It's good to hear from you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. I love taking phone calls. All right. Oh, I'll tell you what. Let's bring back the Progressive Voices people from their purgatory of commercials and promos. Here we go.
This is a huge, huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
Well, you know, there's a lot more to get to, but we'll do it with Laffy because it is that time of the week again. Time for Laffy.
If the news gives you the blues, here's the perfect place to go. It's Tuesdays with Gotta Laugh on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hey, Gotta Laugh. Oh no, she's not here yet. Hold on. We got to get Laffy on the line. Okay, I pressed all the buttons. Let's see if this works. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hello. Hello.
You've reached the Bedminster Golf Club hotline.
Oh, okay. I wonder if fees have gone up there recently.
Well, press one if you've heard the Groucho Marx quote, "I don't want to belong to any club that would have me as a member," and thought, that's why Trump keeps building private golf clubs.
Yeah.
Press 2 if you've heard Ivanka say, Daddy had a perfect executive order signing at the club. He didn't have to hold a glass of water. He didn't have to say Yosemite or walk down a ramp. If only he could have remembered why he was handing out pens. Press 3 if you think after CBS's Paula Reid challenged Trump at his ego event, the Pulitzer Prize Committee is considering adding a new category to honor journalistic excellence, sticking it to the biggest asshole in history. Have a nice day.
All right. There we go. What a crazy day.
By the way, yes. The term you were looking for
is on bonk. I knew it was on something. And it's happening. Did you watch any of that this morning?
No, I was reading all the live tweets by Empty Wheel too.
Yes, right.
And the upshot was that Team Flynn did a really bad job and nobody expects him to go anywhere with this, except that he'll keep appealing. And so time will keep ticking.
Yeah. Okay. So
that's what I got out of all the two or three recaps that I saw at the very end.
Okay. Well, I'll have to catch up later because I have no idea what went on. I just saw that Marcy was on the case and I felt better about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
I've been working, you know, trying to do the behind the scenes stuff, going back and forth with YouTube on the suspension, which is just infuriating. And then trying to get up to speed on Twitch, which is twitching.
Did they give you any indication on YouTube how long it would be?
Oh, it could be until the middle of October.
Really?
90 day. It's a 90 day suspension if I can't get this cleared up.
I didn't know that.
And there were two copyright strikes. The first one I told you was for a news event. I played news footage from the Chicago teacher strike in 2013. And the person who shot the video of this not then 9-year-old little boy, Sean Lewis, I think his name was. I remember it so perfectly because this kid was so impressive. He's 9 years old and he's up there railing against Rahm Emanuel over the Chicago teacher strike. And saying, I need an education. And so this guy apparently shot the video and was claiming I was infringing on his copyright. It was a news event. I was covering a news story. It's called Fair Use, and I won. So that copyright strike was taken down, but it was a copyright strike against me. So then
I got pulled once for a copy, the same thing, and I had gotten permission.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
And I had to say, no, I got permission from these people, and it's a news item, news clip. So they're ridiculous.
And part of the problem now is, you know, I've been doing these Monday music sessions, and I have an artist come on my show, play the song that he wrote, recorded and everything, and I still get copyright violated. But it's not a strike, it's a claim. So they can take the revenue if you earn any revenue from the video. And it's, believe me, I'm not getting rich off of YouTube. But that, so what happened was I had the one strike on the news item that I got released, and now they're in overdrive. There are these bots just going through, and I've got over 10 years of videos up on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it used to be that under the old Digital Millennium Copyrights Act, if I recall correctly, that you could play up to 30 seconds of a song and not get flagged for it. So I used to run with that. I'd use little mm-hmm. snippets just to punctuate stories or to make a point. Now there's thousands of those videos and these little bots crawl through. And if they find any copyrighted material, they'll flag you. Well, usually they flag you and say, we've noted some of our copyrighted music. We'll just attach to your video and any revenue that comes to you will come to us. Right. All right. What am I going to do? That's fine if you want to do that. Just don't give me a copyright strike that takes my channel down, which is what Universal is doing now. And so I finally got through to a human being. And I've gone back and forth, and I just got the most frustrating email short time before I came on the air, the latest from these people at Universal Music Group. And it just says, Don Henley's music is not available for, video use or some shit like that. And I'm I know that. It was a mistake. That was tacked on the end of a What's News newscast on the end of a show that shouldn't have even made it onto YouTube. And it was a 20-second clip at the end of the newscast punctuating the Elizabeth Warren song about Still She Persisted. And I used 20 seconds of Don Henley, "I Will Not Go Quietly," to punctuate it because that's how I think. And that's what this is all about. It's astounding. And you can't get through to a human being. So this is what's been monopolizing my time.
And that's a problem. I remember when years ago on Twitter, I used to be able to email and they would answer me.
Yeah.
And we'd have conversations about, you know, whatever complaint I had or whatever complaint they had. And we'd resolve it so easily in two emails. And now you can't reach a human being no matter what. So anyway, we better hit the tweeties because we got lots to cover.
Ah, okay. All right. Somebody, let loose the birdies!
Welcome to my tweet.
Okay, so I'm sure, I know that with Biden's announcement, the Twitters went nuts. In fact, my Twitter is blowing up
Mine too.
I originally tweeted out, "Let me be the first to suggest Kamala Harris's replacement in the Senate, Katie Porter." And boy, people like that idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know. I only have a couple of tweets and they're about reaction from the Trump people, because basically my whole Twitter, and I follow thousands of accounts.
Yes.
I have tons of columns. So I see things flash up all at once. I can really get a taste of what Twitter's saying. And Twitter loved the Kamala thing. There were a few people, you know, that like you and me, who would say, you know, were saying, "Oh, I really hope it's not Rice," and "Oh, this is a better choice," you know, and once I heard that Karen Bass was out, you know, I stopped even thinking about that, because that came out first that he had called Karen Bass.
Yes, I heard that.
And and he also called Whitmer. And so I thought, okay, so it really comes down to Rice and Kamala Harris. And of the two, I thought Kamala Harris was a better sell. I thought that she comes off better on TV. She knows how to campaign. She's campaigned before. And she is a more commercial product, if you know what I'm saying. People like her. I mean, I'm just basing this on everything. I mean, I have more pro Kamala people tweet me day to day to day to day. So if you were just to look at that kind of thing, it was the right choice to make. Not my choice.
Right. I hear you.
But I'm glad that that's who he chose of the people who remained.
Right. I'm glad it wasn't Susan Rice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I just think that wouldn't have been a wise choice. Nope. I think that it opened him up. Well, Benghazi, of course, but also she isn't a natural campaigner. She's not. There's a lot of things she's not, but. So I think that this was the right choice. Okay, so anywho, forget me. Here's Counterpoint. This is from Bill Scherr. Counterpoint. Oh, well, no. First, let me read you what. All right. Scott Bixby. Let me see if I can see who this is. One second. Scott Bixby of The Daily Beast, because I have to move things to see their names. He said, "The Trump campaign responds to Joe Biden's choice. Joe Biden is no moderate, and with Harris as his political living will, he is surrendering control of our nation to the radical mob." And here's more of what the Trump campaign said. In fact, here's the whole thing. "Not long ago, Kamala Harris called Joe Biden a racist and asked for an apology she never received. Clearly, phony Kamala," that's who they're calling her now, phony Kamala. "will abandon her own morals as well as try to bury her record as a prosecutor in order to appease the anti-police extremists controlling the Democrat Party. In her failed attempt as running for president, Kamala Harris gleefully embraced the left's radical manifesto, calling for trillions of dollars in new taxes and backing Bernie Sanders' government takeover of healthcare. She is proof that Joe Biden is an empty shell being filled with the extreme agenda of the radicals on the left. Quote, Joe Biden is no moderate, and with Harris as his, quote, political living will, he is surrendering control of our nation to the radical mob with promises to raise taxes, cut police funding, kill energy jobs, open our borders, and appease socialist dictators. At the ballot box, Americans will resoundingly reject the abysmal failures of Biden-Harris in favor of the America First strength of Donald Trump." I'm not going to say. And anyway, that was from Katrina Pearson. And so and what Bill Scherr said was, counterpoint, Kamala is a cop.
Yep.
So there's the counterpoint.
Yeah, I know. And that's why she needs to clarify where she falls in all these questions that have been raised over the last few months.
Yeah, she needs to clarify, and that's not her strong point. I really wish she would, because I think when she does, she knows how to do it. She knows how to argue. She knows how to nail people at these hearings. She can be quite useful in that way. I think that's her strength. Mm-hmm. And I hope that she puts it to good use. And the only other thing that I put, it was from Right Wing Watch.
Here's Right Wing Watch, preview. By the way, is People for the American Way. It's a very good site.
They're against the right wing.
Yes.
Here's a quick preview, they say, of the sorts of attacks MAGA world is already launching on Kamala Harris. And here they go. Did she sleep with him? Camel toe Harris it is. Let the Kamala memes begin. I'm sure Kamala Harris will need jaw reconstruction surgery after pulling this one. It's hashtag heels up Harris.
Oh my God. You know, I told you I went looking to see if anyone had done a fun Kamala Camelot kind of song parody. So I looked on YouTube for Kamala, you know, parody. And one song came up and it was obviously some right winger, and some got through the first not even line of the song, and it was something about blowing her way to the top. It's like, oh my God, be prepared. And you know, I kind of poo-pooed it the other day when I heard some pundit starting this a female group, you know, to watch out for sexism, lobbed at whoever the nominee is. And now I understand, it's necessary because this is who we are.
Right. This is who they are. Elima Stahl. Okay, we're getting off of this topic and on to. Okay, he blew up when it was announced that John Kasich was going to be speaking at the at the convention, at the Democratic convention. So he has like three tweets here. He says, "Remember when I wrote about how the DNC shouldn't give a spot to John Kasich over Sherrod Brown, and all you centrist assholes said, of course they'll have Sherrod. Well, guess who was right?" He says in all caps. Then he goes, "Sorry, I'm so goddamn sick of well-meaning white guys telling me I'm wrong when I'm not." And then whenever I raise my voice, that's caps. And then going radio silent when their crap gets exposed. Mm-hmm. They'll stick Democrats who have actually won statewide in Ohio at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, but give a freaking Republican a primetime spot. It's a party desperate, in caps, for white approval, and it pisses me off. And he's right.
He is right.
He's so right.
I get it. I don't understand the John Kasich thing. I just do not.
No. Yeah. I know a lot of people who do. I mean, I don't know them personally. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter who do. Let's open the gates and, you know, we'll have Republicans come in and, you know, it's like the Never Trumper type.
Exactly.
You know?
So they are the same people who are fine with churning over MSNBC or whatever other allegedly, you know, left-wing outlet to the Never Trumpers. I'm not ready to go there, but boy, they're sure ready to turn over MSNBC.
Well, I think as far as the convention, everybody's so doing anything they can or think they can to win that they think this is something to do. I don't agree. I think he could be given an afternoon slot if you want to do that.
Oh, they're putting him on prime time? Ugh.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Here's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
A right wing. Oh, this is from forward.com.
Okay.
A right wing Republican congressional candidate in North Carolina. This is why you brought up Mo.
Yeah.
Has taken down pictures he posted to Instagram from a 2017 vacation to the Eagle's Nest, the Nazi retreat in Germany that Hitler visited more than a dozen times. He referred to Hitler as Führer and said a trip to the Nazi retreat had been on his bucket list.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that cute?
Oh, that's just lovely.
Isn't that precious?
I hadn't even heard of that.
Leave it to the Republicans, right? The pro-Nazi Republican. I mean, what is well, we know what's going on. It's the white supremacist party. So that's what's going on. And I really hope that Colonel Morris Davis knows how to. He's so good. He's so good.
He's very
so
funny. And he's the real deal.
Clever.
So. Uh-huh.
He'll know what to do if he already has. I mean, I haven't read his. I have to read his tweets. I haven't read them.
Yeah,
for a while.
Like I said, this morning, I didn't even know he was running until you mentioned it.
Oh, yeah, I donated to him the first day he announced.
Awesome.
We've been following each other on Twitter forever. We used to talk all the time.
He's been on the show.
I'm sorry?
He's been on the show.
Oh,
over the years.
We'll see. So, yeah. You know, he's great. All right. Oh, so here's something real funsy. This is from Deadline.com. They tweeted, Fox News to launch new international streaming service. Fox News is launching an international streaming service to debut in Mexico on August 20th, and then Spain, Germany, and the United Kingdom on September the 17th. Priced at $6.99 per month, it will feature live streams of Fox News linear networks and 20 on-demand shows, including Tucker Carlson, Hannity, The Ingram Angle, The Five, blah, blah, blah. I want to throw up. This goes right into Steve Bannon spreading white supremacy all over Europe.
Yep. Yep.
They're infiltrating, and a lot of the European governments are run by far right wingers. So
crazy.
There we go.
Crazy.
They'll get their little
times.
Radio stuff.
Yep.
All right. So if you haven't heard this yet, you should hear. This is from CNN. More than 97,000 children tested positive for COVID-19 in the last 2 weeks of July, a 40% increase in child cases across the states and cities that were studied.
Yep. Now, did you hear? I heard that clip and I'm trying to think, did I pull up the audio on it? I don't see it. Let me see if I don't know if I even kept it. I might have thrown it away. But on Fox and Fiends, the blonde bimbo that they have there now, Ainsley something or other. Apparently, the news person was doing the story and said 97,000, children have been infected. And she was like, what do you mean? That's just not impossible. Children don't get infected like this. I'm looking for the right. I don't know if I even kept.
Well, Trump had come out right away and said it was fake news. So, and I was getting bombarded by trolls that were saying, did you read the article? And I said, yeah, it says exactly what the headline says. And then it started, that was before it broke all over on CNN and all the major outlets. I found it at a local news outlet, reporting on it. And, and I have a follow-up to this. Maybe I'll read this while you're looking
for
your clip.
Here it is. I found it. Let me just play this for you because her name is Ainsley Earhart. Expressed shock over the rate of child coronavirus infections on Monday. Here we go.
The U.S. surpassing 5 million coronavirus cases as Texas records its highest 7-day positivity rate since the pandemic began for that state. And as the nation wrestles with reopening schools in the fall, a new report finds more than 97,000 children tested positive for COVID-19 in the last 2 weeks of July. So let's bring in Texas ER doctor and Global Outreach Doctors Board member, Dr. Natasha Katheria. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Dr. Katheria, could you tell us why these numbers are up in Texas?
So we're not entirely sure. We've seen this wave hit Texas.
Hold on. I'm going to forward in through a little bit.
Of July weekend.
Where
we're really hoping that we're over it, but we're not really seeing signs of that with this increased case count right now.
Here we go.
We're all worried about sending our kids back to school. What is that going to look like for our country and for our elderly grandparents and things like that? 97,000 kids have tested positive. That was such a shock to me because I had heard kids really don't get it. If they do, they're all going to be okay. Do you know any details about that percentage of kids that did get it? Are they all doing okay? Do you have any deaths?
I don't know about the mortality and the morbidity right now in that group. That was just
she's shocked. I tell you, shocked, because they don't pay attention to real news at Fox, because that's where they just make shit up. That's what they do.
Right. They do. They just say whatever they want. Well, follow up to that.
Your original source for fake news.
Just the Fox News we make shit up sounder. Sorry.
Yes, that's perfect. Cherokee, this is from Newsweek. Cherokee County School District in North Georgia has directed 826 students and 42 teachers to quarantine as a result of exposure to COVID-19 after being back to school for only 6 days. And meantime, I just read also, I think they closed until, I don't remember how many months, a couple of months or till January. I can't recall. I saw a tweet whizzed by as a sequel to this one. But basically, you know, you send kids to school, all those immune kids are getting sick and their teachers are getting sick and everyone's going to get sick. And we're right back to opening the businesses too yep. early and the sports teams, you know, the what's it called? The football thing.
Preseason? Exhibition games? I don't know what, I don't know.
Not top 10. What is it, you guys?
Big 10? The Big Ten.
Thank you. The top 10. Sorry, I'm not a sports person.
Where they have the 10 written into the word big because it's so clever. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, they're not playing. They stop for a while. So, and then the other one with the 12 in it.
Whatever. They're both, whatever.
Okay. It doesn't matter. Okay. So Kodak.
Oh, yes. Kodak.
Okay. You know, that was Trump's big pick because they're going to produce hydroxychloroquine and do stuff for him that he likes. Well, their shares dropped. This is from CNBC. 40% after the government deal was halted due to the probe in wrongdoing, reviewing a previously announced $765 million loan for the one-time photography pioneer to produce drug ingredients.
Yeah, because so that Trump's makes so much sense. Develop pictures, make drugs. Sure. Yeah.
They're both chemicals.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. So that kind of went thud.
Yeah, yeah.
Like yep. Trump's butt. Thud.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else?
Okay, so I'm going to give you a little series of fun ones.
Okay. Okay, because I got a couple of things that I need to get in before the end. So just save me
a
minute.
Of course. Absolutely.
Okay. Go.
Oh, I thought you wanted to do it now.
No, I said just save me a minute at the end.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, these are quick. Jim Jordan, Representative GYM Jordan.
Yes, yes.
He tweeted, America needs college football. And then here's a series of responses he got. Aaron Rupar said America needed a federal coronavirus plan 8 months ago.
Yeah, there's that.
J.H. Weissman, who is a writer for Slate, he said, well, maybe you fuckers should have worn some masks then.
Yep.
Then Bill Burton, you remember him.
Sure.
He said, not the first time Jim Jordan didn't put the safety of athletes
Woo!
First. Snap-a-rooney. And then Aaron Rupar again said Trump realizes the lack of this is over a Trump one that said play college football.
Uh-huh.
Trump realizes the lack of college football this fall will serve as a pervasive reminder that almost everyone's life is much shittier than it was 4 years ago.
Yeah, there's that.
And then Brian Karam. Yay.
Yeah.
He said, this is over Trump's play college football, said the guy perpetually picked last for kickball.
Yeah.
And that's the little run.
Okay.
Now we're into my last three, so you should have plenty of time.
Okay.
This is from John Harwood.
Yeah.
I think you might have... tape of this reprising message of his Notre Dame speech. U.S. Attorney General believes he's fighting a holy war. Quote, this is from Barr.
Oh.
They're a revolutionary group interested in some form of socialism, communism. They're essentially Bolsheviks, Barr said, of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And then, quote, the left wants power because that is essentially their state of grace and their secular religion. They want to run people's lives so they can design utopia for all of us. And that's what turns them on.
Oh, my God. He's nuts. This man is fucking nuts.
Absolute loon.
He is. That would be Bill Barr. That would be the attorney general. He needs to be impeached.
He's supposed to be
immediately.
Yes. Mr. Objective. Right.
Yeah,
totally independent from the president. Did you have tape for that or no?
No, you know what? It's not worth it.
Okay, two more. I think one more. I think the last one was my Randy Rainbow that you played.
So
one more. This is the last one. This is from NPR, Steve Inskeep.
Okay.
Startling, he says. Kimberly Carroll of Postal Service Workers Union in Waterloo, Iowa, tells Noel King, the USPS not only was banned overtime, but is having sorting machines removed in her area. Quote, that also hinders our ability to process mail, she says. I grew up in a culture of service where every piece was to be delivered every day. And So now she's saying, you know, that Louis DeJoy, the new head of USPS and Trump flunky, is enacting policies that prevent that. But asked if the USPS can still handle voting by mail this fall, the postal clerk and union leader answers, yes, they've been in business for centuries. And, quote, we will still have the system that will do that. I'm not so sure. If you've read, my mind just went blank, and how could it, of my buddy. Hold on. I will say his name out loud. Will Bunch. Thank you. Just went out of my head for some reason. You got to read his column today, because he talks all about how we need to either hand, like you and I do, hand deliver our ballots to a secure lockbox,
or the supervisor of elections office for your county, or we need drop boxes all over everywhere.
Right. Or he said, vote in person, but do not drop it in the mail.
Right.
He's very worried about that.
I understand.
And there you go. That's my tweets. You got plenty of time now.
Okay. So two things. First of all, a couple of weeks ago, we were ragging on those stupid auto insurance commercials. And we went off on the Lincoln Mutual, which with the emu, and the whole thing is just so fucking stupid. Plus, their other thing is only pay for what you use.
Oh, God.
That is every goddamn auto insurance company. You figure out what coverages you need and you pay for what you use. So that whole selling point is moot. It's bullshit. And I will never buy insurance from Liberty Mutual for those two reasons. Those emu commercials are insulting as hell. And don't insult my intelligence by saying, ooh, you only have to pay for what you use. That's the works at every company. But
yes.
Allstate, I neglected to mention Allstate, who used to be reasonable, but they have taken a man who is a decent actor who's been around forever. His name is Dennis Haysbert. This
He's
is his
wonderful.
Picture if you're watching on any of the video streams. His name is Dennis Haysbert. It is not, ooh, safe drivers saves 40%. So they have these asinine commercials that have people seeing this actor and going, oh, it's safe drivers save 40%. Nobody in the world ever called him safe drivers save 40%. They might say, oh, that's the guy, he was the president on 24.
Yes.
Or he's the guy from those stupid Allstate commercials. They would never say safe drivers save 40%. That's not his name. And no one would ever use that to describe this actor.
No, of course not. Is that canceling him?
I think so. I think it's an
insult. Should we use that? I've never used
cancel
that.
Cancel
culture. It's not something I do, but I'll say it now.
Horrible. Just,
only
it pisses me off. And I just got, you know, my insurance policy is up for renewal. I will not go to Allstate. I will not go to Liberty Mutual. I'll stick with Geico, because their actually stupid commercials are kind of funny for the most part. Anyway,
that one had
to get it out. I've been holding that in for weeks, and every time I see that commercial, it gets me. Now you're ready for something happy?
Yes.
We got a new baby.
We did.
Everybody, meet.
Look at your baby.
Scotty Sloan, no relation, and I can't remember Rose's last name, but our friend Amy Simon, who was one of the original Glyberal goddesses, who doesn't do Glyberal goddesses with us these days because, well, she's working. Her daughter, Rose, gave birth to a beautiful little baby girl this morning. They're in the UK, so they're 5 hours ahead of us. So I don't know what time it was. But this is one of the first pictures of beautiful little Scotty Sloan.
Oh, little
there
cute.
She is with Rosie.
Her cheeks.
Oh, my goodness. And I so feel for Amy, because Amy is so many miles away. I can't imagine having a grandbaby born on the other side of the world. I know. So
who's your baby? It's Scotty Sloan.
I got a little new niece with an interesting name. You know, kids these days name their kids funny names. Scotty.
Kids
for
these
a girl.
Days.
Well, you know, we're getting on up there in age, Laffy. It happens, and now we're among the grandmothers. Oh.
The kids these days don't know what they're doing, Nicole.
What are the kids doing these days?
I don't know. They're all a bunch of rapscallions. They don't know what they're talking about, and their music is nothing but loud noise.
I guess so. So, happy birthday, and welcome to the world, Scotty Sloan.
A little cutie pie. I want a baby now.
No, I don't. I want a puppy.
Oh, puppies.
Puppies. All right. And on that note, we're just going to ooh and ah over the baby pictures until tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow, Thomas Frank is here. Populist No or something. It's the name of the book that I've got in the living room where I'm reading it. But Thomas Frank never, never disappoints. So we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, Laffy. I got to go. We're running
Thank
late.
You.
Bye, everyone.
Okay, bye.
See you tomorrow. Bye.